Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we have another special edition of Tell Al Tuesday. It's an opportunity for you to get to know one of my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members and understand what they have done to create financial independence, not only for themselves, but for the people that they love. And the gentleman I have on today, he's got a pretty impressive track record. He has been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited for the last 13 years. Now, in this case, 13 is not an unlucky number. It's actually a very lucky number because Ron put into action the information that he learned 13 years ago from Lifestyles Unlimited. He's not only achieved retirement, he is flourishing in the lifestyle. So what I'd like to do now is I'm going to welcome Ron onto the show, and we're going to get to know him. Ron, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm having a great Tuesday. It's a beautiful day here in Texas, but I understand you're not in Texas right now.
No, I'm up in here in the great state of Kansas, close to Kansas City.
What caused you to get up there into Kansas City? What are you doing up there?
Right now, I'm taking care of two apartment complexes up here, totaling 74 units.
Awesome. And are you going to spend like 40 hours this week doing that, or just a little bit of your time?
This week, actually, it's going to be pretty close to 40 hours. We have been nominated for Best Renovation Award up here at the Apartment Association, and we're trying to train a new maintenance and repairman and coordinate some renovation.
So you're actively engaged in owning and operating apartment communities, correct?
Correct, yeah. I chose the path of being a lead, the most recent path, and that is not living the lifestyle. That is, sometimes it can be a 40-hour-per-week job, but it's good, honest work, and you're working for yourself and your investors. So I'm not in that in that maturity continuum. I'm not interdependent yet. I'm still in that independent stage.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because we all have to travel down the path that we've designed for ourselves. So what I'd like to do, Ron, is I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. I want our audience to know who you are. Tell me a little bit about what you were doing for work and maybe for retirement before you decided real estate was a viable option for you.
So I was an engineer, and I really still think of myself as an engineer, definitely by training. I went to school all the way, a doctorate and even a postdoc. I was, that's all in electrical engineering. I did spend a little bit of time at George Mason University as a postdoc and as a professor of physics, assistant professor of physics. Taught classes at Texas A&M for about 4 years back in the 90s. I've designed a number of integrated circuits for communication applications, optical networking, handheld devices, cable modems, digital TV. So I spent almost 30 years as an electrical engineer. The only thing that was available to me at that time was 401k. And after, I guess, 28 years, all I had was about $40,000 of 401k. And fortunately, that was I took advantage of that and put it in real estate. And, of course, then it grew. But before that, it was just up and then down and up and down. And even though I was paying it, I was putting money in it rather than it putting money in my pocket.
So you were pretty much doing what the majority of us do. I mean, you went to school. You got some impressive degree. Do I have to call you doctor?
No.
Okay, good. But although Dr. Ron has a pretty cool sound to it. But here's where I'm going, Ron. I'm just being silly with you. You were doing everything that the rest of us were told to do. I mean, you went to school, got your degrees, went to work, and, you know, you were working diligently in your different career fields, and you were stuffing some money into a 401k, which, you know, didn't quite pan out for you. At what point did you have an epiphany and decide that what you were doing for retirement wasn't working?
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people have gotten their spreadsheet and said, you know, I don't want to work forever. And then they, if they're an engineer like us, they'll plan out 40 years and they'll say, okay, if I make this assumption and, you know, this amount of investment from my paycheck every 2 weeks, and then I make an assumption on how much it'll grow. Oh, can I do it 7%? Okay, that doesn't quite get me there. Oh, I think I can just stretch it. Probably will make 8%. And then you look for that $1 million holy grail moment way in the future. And it's just so far beyond your immediate horizon that it's just demoralizing. So I know for some people, they get in the right stocks and they do better than I did. But you can also lose a lot of money in the normal swings of the market, too. So, yeah, I think probably right around 07, I realized basically the market had dropped and it was the crisis was on the horizon. And I just knew I needed to get the money out of the market.
Well, Ron, I happen to know that the end story is really great. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into that story because I think people need to understand and learn from you. Stick around.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have a longtime member on the show today. His name's Ron, and he's been a member of Lifestyles Unlimited for the past 13 years. And like you, he was doing everything that he was supposed to do with regards to becoming successful in America. You know, he went to school, he got good grades. Well, he must have gotten good grades because he went on to get a PhD. So he's a highly educated engineer, which tells you he's pretty smart. But here's the thing. He was putting money into a retirement plan that was offered to him. And one day he woke up and he said, you know what? That's just not going to get me to where I'm trying to get to. So Ron, do me a favor, pick up the story from there and tell us a little bit about why real estate? Why the jump into real estate? And why Lifestyles Unlimited?
The story made sense to me where you can purchase, let's just start for single family. You can purchase a distressed asset for a price that when you rehab it or renovate it, that you could still, if you wanted to, you could turn around and sell it and make a little bit of profit. But we don't do that. We actually hold on to it and put a tenant, or we call them residents now, and just chunk in passive income. So that really made a lot of sense to me, you know, and it just the idea or the goal of chunking in that passive income to replace that ordinary income that you get through a W-2 employment. So that, and then, you know, somewhere down the road, if you want to make a change in your life, if maybe you it's not working out the way you envisioned it where you are, things change. The economy changes. The people that you work with change. The projects change. You know, projects can get canceled midstream and you've put your heart and soul into a project and then it gets canceled. So I just wanted that flexibility. I wanted the ability I wanted that control over my life. And chunking it in, you know, one house might cover half of a car payment, you know, maybe another house, then you've got your car payment covered. Then you might buy two or three more because you're addicted to this cash flow and you are now close to covering the principal and interest on your house note. And just that enjoying that journey, in my case, I didn't go too fast because I wanted to enjoy it. And plus, I'm careful. I'm that B-type engineer where I do things methodically and don't take too many chances. But just the empowerment of that control over your life. As a W-2, there's nothing wrong with being a professional, and a lot of people take pride in that, and of course I did. But you have to realize that they don't control very much in a W-2 job. And the rug could be pulled right out from underneath your feet in a quick second.
Did you experience that? I mean, were you ever laid off or let go because of maybe those projects canceling on you?
Yes. I was at a great company, a lot of really great people, was very happy where I worked, although it was long and grueling hours. And in 2012, we got a notice that we were all being laid off. And fortunately, I had a handful of houses at that time, and even just a few houses, I was scared to death, of course, as anyone would be, how I was going to make ends meet. I had pretty high financial obligations with child support and whatnot. But I realized, you know, 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by, and my bank account is really not moving much. And so even though as an engineer we do the math, we model our finances, until you actually experience it and you have to depend on your own investments to get by, it doesn't really become real for you. So that allowed me to hold out until for another opportunity. I still wanted to make more money. I wasn't then in my profession as an engineer, and I still wanted more capital to invest. So I went back for a couple more years. But I was able to win. There were a couple of jobs that went by, that were offers that I didn't have to take because I had that flexibility.
Now, when you started investing in real estate, you chose the single family route to start. Did I get that correct?
Yes, and I was more intent on replacing my income than I was trying to build my net worth. So, you know, most people think, all right, if I could just have $1 million, I'll be set, without really understanding that that you would burn through that $1 million in short order. I just wanted that forever income. I wanted that passive income to support the lifestyle that I wanted, even if I didn't have a W-2 job.
So what was that number? And I'm not talking about the monetary piece. I'm actually talking about the number of houses that it took for you to get to that point where you were financially comfortable.
I think I had probably, I don't know, somewhere around 10 when that covered my monthly nut, so to speak. And it's interesting that I remember in the 2-day seminar, Dell saying, you know, don't think that just because you're retired that you're not going to continue to buy houses. But really, I bought the majority of the houses after I had left corporate America and did not have a steady paycheck or did not have a W-2 income. So I think I was up to probably 15 or 16. And at that point, you know, I definitely had more than enough coming in to cover my lifestyle. And then I started to sell one or two houses per year. So I really sold the houses in a very controlled fashion over a long period of time, rather than just doing a fire sale and then finding a buyer and selling them all on a cap rate, as some people do.
So when you selected a property for sale, was it to create a pile of money for you so that you could go get more properties? What was the philosophy there?
I had my eye on that $50,000 mark because that's kind of the threshold that we're taught by Lifestyles that we ought to really consider multifamily. Let's say you need $20,000 or $30,000 out of pocket to do a single family deal. If you've got $50,000 or $60,000, you might as well just go ahead and put it into find a multifamily deal, either as a passive or as a lead or as an IRO, and get all of that money working for you in one deal. So that I realized that right around 2015 that I could sell these houses and then walk away with on the order of $50,000 to $100,000. A lot of that was equity capture. Some of that was money that I had put in the deal, and a lot of it was appreciation. But nevertheless, I started walking away with big chunks, and that's when I decided to make the transition. So I was just kind of focused on doing a gradual transition.
We'll be back right after this.
It comes a point in time every now and then when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, I have Ron on the show with me, and we're talking about his 13-year track record of investing in real estate. Now, Ron was involved primarily with single-family properties, and he actually amassed a pretty big portfolio of single-family properties. But along the way, he decided that he wanted to transition from single-family investments into multifamily investments. Ron, why make that change? What caused you to do that?
Well, for two reasons. The easiest to explain it monetarily is that I was walking away from the sale of single family properties it was enough money that in order to redeploy that back into a cash flowing asset would require multiple single family houses. So it just like Monopoly, usually the goal is to take, once you get four houses, go ahead and turn that into a hotel, or in our case, into a cash flowing multifamily apartment complex. So since I had the money, I didn't really want to go out and do four single family. I could just put that into one investment and have all that money working for me in that one investment. And then I have one place to go to, and the rehab was in some sense a little bit simpler, because instead of having four different houses with different rehab plans, you've got the same rehab plan that you just deploy over and over again on with the same unit type. Also, I guess in another fashion, I believed in the teachings of Lifestyles in terms of getting to that interdependent stage of life, and where you've moved beyond independence. You eventually will become a passive investor and let someone like me do the work for you. And at that point, you really purchased back your time. Of course, I wasn't doing much at all with a single family house. I mean, it didn't take very much time at all, even 15 or 16. I made the choice to go backwards in a sense in terms of the demands on my time to be a lead. And make no mistake, as Lifestyle teaches, being a lead is a job. It's not living a lifestyle, but it's a choice. I mean, I could fall back pretty easily, but I really want to go forward. I really want to get pushed through that independent stage and get to the other side where I've got all of my money being deployed in someone else's deal, and all I have to do is just walk to the mailbox and pick up the check or have it deposited directly in my account, and I don't have to do anything other than read PPM.
Yeah, that is the very passive way where we don't even walk to the mailbox anymore. Although I do have one deal that I'm still in where that lead investor, he likes checks. He likes sending checks, and I'm okay with that. Although it's a little extra work because now I got to scan these checks into my phone. You know how that goes, though.
Yeah, you're still overworked. I still haven't gotten to the ACH yet. And anyway,
you're behind the times, Ron.
I know.
So tell me about this first multifamily deal that you did. What was the nature of the deal, and why did you pick that particular asset?
Well, as I mentioned, the prices really seemed to have gone up compared to when I started, and that kind of ruined me for not a good reason. But I had underwritten, had looked at a number of other deals, and the return was just not coming out what I expected and what I demanded, because we're putting our own money at risk. It's not just if you syndicate a deal, yes, you're bringing other people's money, but you're also putting your own money out there. And of course, we want to protect our own investment. We also are just as worried, and sometimes even more worried, about the money that come from other passive investors. But this particular deal, just it had a higher cash-on-cash return. It was over the loan that it qualified for agency debt, which means it was over $1 million. It was a Freddie Mac small balance loan. Even though it was built in the 60s, it didn't have a lot of what we call, I'll use a big word here from J.B. Durham, functional obsolescence, meaning that it didn't have a boiler or a chiller. It had central air, and it looked nice. And it was right off of I-35 corridor, which is, we call it the money road. NAFTA and USMCA kind of ensure that we've got long-term prosperity on I-35. And, of course, it was in a metro that I knew, had lived in. I'd lived in some of the comps. I knew the area, felt at home in that market.
So tell me about the deal. Was this a property that you were going to acquire and just kind of operate, or is this a property that needed some extra TLC?
It definitely needed some extra TLC. So these units had not been upgraded since the early 60s. So they were really tired. They were really out of date. They were really old and in some cases very dirty, and the floors were, had places that were rotten, and just every place that you looked, there was deferred maintenance and the opportunity, more importantly, to improve the property. And we were at the bottom of the comp, literally in a B. We even had some A class properties, but predominantly B class. And here we were, a D plus, if there is such a thing, or a C minus. So I knew that with enough improvements that we had only up to go.
Now, the place where this property is located, I mean, it's outside of a major metropolitan area. And based on what I know about the general Kansas City marketplace, that metropolitan market is growing. So you're actually in, would you call it the suburbs? What would you call the town that this property's in?
Yes, we are in the suburbs.
So, I mean, there's a lot of really good economic engines occurring in that marketplace, and it sounds like you were able to find the right asset that was going to produce the right types of returns that you needed for you and for your investors.
That's right. So, to use the lingo, it was not a pure, it had a yield play kind of component, which means that it's making money from day one, but also had a value add component where there's opportunity to reposition the asset and charge the going rate for that submarket for nicer units. And of course, it's on the I-35 corridor, so you're always going to get sustained growth there.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a win-win location for me. And the thing that I know that our listeners don't know is that you were able to systematically go through this property, increase the overall valuation of the property, which in turn drives a lot of other things that we as investors like. When we come back from the break, I'm going to have Ron talk about those things that we as investors really like. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So, Ron, talk to me a little bit about what you did with that first property that you acquired, that 40-unit deal outside of Kansas City. Now, when you bought it, it needed, a facelift may be too gentle of a word. I mean, I think you told me that the units were literally the original configuration from the time this thing was built back in the 60s.
Yeah, so though they were one bedroom, one bath units, 575 square feet, little small galley, closed up galley kitchen, old appliances. So we put in new flooring that just replaced the subfloors, luxury vinyl plank, a two-tone paint job with a nice, kind of a passive grayish color, brushed nickel hardware, modern ceiling fan, 6-panel doors, levered doorknobs, granite, stainless steel intermount sink, and new appliances. And really, it's almost a bridge too far compared to what we're normally taught, but these were so old and so bad, there was no middle ground. And so we and as J.B. Durham, which is my mentor at Lifestyles, says, you only have one chance to rehab it. Might as well go for it. You can kind of do a lot of extra things if you do it all at one time. So we did that, and we were able to raise rents up to something a whole lot closer to what the sub market was already commanding. We did a lot of exterior work. We replaced the roof. We did landscaping. We repaved the parking lot, restriped the parking lot. It replaced some of the HVACs, not that many. And we did some improvements in the laundry room.
So what did all that work translate into in relation to the returns that you received from that property?
The cash-on-cash rate of return back to the investor is somewhere between 6 and 8%. I think it's actually maybe a little closer, a little higher than that now. Of course, that's after a lot of work, a lot of repositioning. We're currently doing a cash-out refinance where we hope to get 100% total, if you consider the distributions that we've already gotten, plus the cash out refi, 100% back to the investor over 3 years. So if you just do quick math, that's right around 30% per year. And you still own the deal. We will still own a cash flowing deal, a very low interest rates, very favorable terms these days, and still have a cash flowing asset.
So you ventured into a second property. Tell me about this second deal and why did you go after this particular one?
So there's a rule of 100, kind of a rule of thumb that if you have 100 units, you'll be able to afford one person in and one person out. The in person would be the leasing agent, the person that would take the calls and take care of the residents' needs, and then a maintenance guy that would be on property just about every day of the week, or should be every day of the week. Rekeying locks, changing weather stripping, looking at light bulbs that are in the microwave that are burned out, just one thing after another, but to take care of those residents, to make those residents make sure that they are appreciated. If you have fewer units than 100, it's very difficult to have a full-time maintenance person like that to really take care of your residents. So you have to kind of depend on third-party companies, and that can be hit or miss. If you've got a really good vendor who you have a very good relationship with, you pay them on time, then you can kind of muddle through that, but still you're not always going to be their priority. So if you can get to that 100-unit rule of thumb economies of scale, then you can do a better job of taking care of your property and your residents.
Well, that makes sense. So this next apartment community was 34 units. And I didn't quite get you to that 100 number, but it's getting you on the path. What does this 34-unit apartment community do for you and your investors?
It gets us three-quarters of the way to 100 units. And actually, we were able to have a full, not a full-time, but a three-quarter-time maintenance person. So we didn't quite get to reach that 100, but we're able to. We're far enough that we're able to afford a three-quarter time person. And that just makes all the difference in the world. It just, it allows you to do things that you couldn't have done otherwise. And it reduces the complexity of the management process.
What kind of returns are you projecting for this particular property?
So this one is actually backwards. The first one was a 34 unit, and then we went up to a 40 unit. This one has, we thought, was a little more of a yield play. It turns out that it has some additional stabilization that we weren't looking at originally. So I'm hoping that it would be somewhere about a 15 or 20% return on average.
Well, that's not too bad.
Better than the stock market.
Yeah, better than what you were doing in that 401k for years, right?
Definitely.
That actually makes me want to ask a question that I'm going to go completely off topic here, but what's it like being in control of your income streams and your retirement destiny in relation to what you were doing all those years ago when you were working for somebody else?
Well, I feel empowered. I feel it can be difficult at times because you're solving big problems and therefore you expect to be rewarded in a big way at some point in the future. But at least, you know, it's honest work. And as a lead, okay, now if you're passive, you do almost nothing. You just write checks. But I'm in control to some degree of what I work on every day. I'm in control of who I work with. If they're carrying their weight and they're providing a service, getting paid a fair wage accordingly, then I love working with them. If not, then I don't, and I can change that. And I choose which properties I go after. I'm the central point in the acquisition process, more or less the decision maker for disposing of an asset when you sell it or when to refinance. So it's that empowerment. You're not only in control of your daily life, but you're also, to a large extent, in control of your finances. So I haven't had a W-2 paycheck for over seven years, and my financial position is so far beyond what it would have been if I'd stayed in the industry, working for someone else, doing the job that they asked me to do with the people that they hired that I may or may not get along with. And, of course, we try to do the best we can no matter what situation we're in. But I just feel a little bit more empowered, a lot more empowered in real estate than I was with 30 years in engineering.
How has all of this investing affected your lifestyle?
I think that when I'm at home, I'm able, if I can keep an office, or I keep my, trying to keep my office at my lake house, and then we have another house just down the street. We have two houses within walking distance. And if I'm able to just leave that work in my office, then I can really thoroughly enjoy my time with my wife, my new wife. And whereas before, as an engineer, I mean, it's literally always bugging you. How am I going to solve this problem? Can I solve this problem? It's never been solved before. Do I have the resources to solve it? Of course, there is some degree when in real estate when you're solving real problems. There are some things that are out of your control. For example, if somebody is going to stay on as a W-2 employee for you, and if not, then how do I make that transition and find someone else as a replacement? But there's just so much more empowerment. There's so much more traction, I guess I will say, in your ability to deal with things, putting one foot in front of the other, investing one unit of effort generally translates into at least one unit of return, many times a leap in progress that you don't always find in engineering.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think that there are folks out there that are working really hard because they think that that's the solution in life. And Ron, you and I, we have found a different path. We have found a path that has not only helped us achieve retirement, but it's helped us to focus and build that lifestyle. Hey, we're at the end of the show, Ron. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And if you want to get started with real estate investing, check us out at freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.